So Father, take this message, I pray, and take hold of me, and use the words that you want to use, and the phrases that may not be written, to touch hearts and minds, Lord, for your greater glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, entitled, What Have You Learnt From 2020 Then? What have we learnt from the year just gone by? It's now the 3rd of January, and I have never experienced a year like the one that has just passed by. It seems like one trial after another. And that's not all to do with COVID, it's to do with life in general. Constant change in the media, information and government guidance. The one thing that has come out of it is that no one knows what a day may bring, and no one can predict the future with any kind of accuracy. Now then, what happened 47 years and 2 days ago? Well, someone thought that it was a good idea for the UK and the Republic of Ireland to join the EU. 47 years ago! On the 1st of January 1974, it happened, by the captain of Morning Cloud. Do you remember him? Led us into the most dangerous and divisive of unions, I think. This is my opinion. Yes, it was Prime Minister Edward Heath who led us away from being controlled by our own leadership, and in effect handed the reins bit by bit into the hands of other people. No doubt it sounded reasonable at the time and made a lot of sense to many people, but in the end our direction as a nation began to change, to the point where I believe, a bit like the Israelites stuck in Egypt, God intervened and we were given and had the opportunity to leave. All we had to do was to put our vote where our hearts felt that they were being steered. Simple as that. Amazingly, we have been out of the economic union, the EU, for 3 days now. Did you know that? And the world has not caved in. In fact, with the exception of a few hiccups at various ports, etc., it's all gone ahead in a very orderly kind of way. I haven't noticed much of a difference. Funny how the UK, have you ever thought about this? The UK now are the first nation to produce, test and authorise a vaccine to combat this pandemic that we're suffering. What's the chances of that? Is that just a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that the vaccine produced in Oxford costs only £3, whereas the rest of them cost a small fortune in comparison? Is it funny to you? Do you find it strange that that coincides with Brexit? Might be just a coincidence, mightn't it? And it might not. Not only did we not see the virus coming, we had no idea that it was possible to actually produce a vaccine that would normally take 15 to 20 years on average to introduce in a record time than less than a year. Isn't that amazing? Don't you think that's amazing? Amazing what can be done when you see the urgency and the gravity of the problem. And then you decide to work and pull together. It reminds me a bit of the Battle of Britain, in a way. People were praying a lot then as well. It was, it's this or it's nothing. Battle of Britain was breaking point. We wouldn't be here doing this, talking in English, if we'd have failed. Anyway, the question remains, who, other than God himself, saw these things coming? And what have we learnt from the year that's just passed by? Have we learnt anything? As we stand together then at the threshold of a new year, I think back to this time last year, standing here, knowing full well that a year can bring many things, some good, some bad, some very ugly, some sinister, some very sad. I think we've had plenty of the latter ones, don't you? But let's remember to honour God through all this. It's not all been bad. And there are many things that could have gone much, much worse. We've seen answers to prayer. We've seen healing. We've seen exam success, but we weren't always able to meet together, were we? We weren't together at Christmas due to more severe COVID-19 restrictions. But we were all well. We were able to meet on Zoom. Christmas was quiet. It was different. But it's past and we're safe now. We got over it. We went through it. It's in the behind. It's in the, put you past and you behind. What was that film called? And we've just remembered in communion and over Christmas that who is at the centre of Christmas? It's all about Jesus. From March 2019, we were faced with closing the church for meetings. But one way or another, God has provided a way through for us. So that if you wanted to, you could still honour his word by not forsaking meeting together to worship and fellowship. Difficult, perhaps. Maybe we had to meet outside, but God provided a way without us having to break the UK law. And even today, we're not doing anything today to dishonour either him or those he puts in authority over us. It's funny, there's always a way through. You know, many of you have reacted very emotionally to the passing of 2020. I've seen it in my own house. No one I know will look back on it and cherish it with fond memories. I don't know many people who do that. In fact, I'd never seen my wife so happy to get 2020 behind her. Kicking it out the door she was. But once again I ask, who saw it coming? Who saw it coming? Who knew how difficult that it would be? And more to the point, who knows if 2021 will be any better? Nobody. You can't guarantee it. We live in hope, don't we? But you don't know if it's going to be any better from your point of view. I really struggled this year with greeting anyone with Happy New Year. I really did struggle. I didn't put it on the Facebook page. I didn't put it on our WhatsApp group. I just couldn't do it because I thought to myself, not because I didn't want to be friendly or civilized with people or to encourage people, but because I didn't have any assurance that it would necessarily be a happy year any more than the last one was. Call me a pessimist? No, I don't think so. I'm not a pessimist, but I do see a trend happening in the world. And I can't see how the people of God are ever going to be really happy living here, living on a world that is decaying both materially and spiritually. Now, this is a scripture that I'm hanging my hat on at the threshold of this new year. It's a funny scripture. You wonder why I've chosen it. Exodus 33. But I really, really identify with Moses on this occasion. Not because I have a staff or anything like that, or can change water into blood, or all these wonderful things that God did through him, but because of what he said. Exodus 33, verses 11 to 17. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. And then Moses would return to the camp. But his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people. But you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name and you have found favor with me. Well, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth if you don't go with us?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. I identify with that. Are you confident about the coming year, or are you a bit like me and how Moses sounds like in Exodus 33? The promise of receiving rest from God is quite an attractive thought, isn't it? Rest, peace, shalom. Perfect peace and contentment sounds very attractive right now to most people, I would have thought. But as I read the conversation between Moses and God, I feel it can be condensed into just a few words. If you're not coming with us, we're not going. Simple as that. And that's how I feel. I'm not going on my own. I'm not going on my own. And I dare say you feel the same. I do not want to go wandering through 2021 on my own, hoping for the best. You know, I could easily be terrified. I could terrify myself what I feel might be coming upon the earth. But if God is with us, the Emmanuel that we have recently been celebrating the birth of at Christmas, if he goes with us and remains with us by his Holy Spirit, then what exactly is there to be afraid of? Not only will he be pleased with us, but we will experience his love and faithfulness like never before. Is that what you've learned from 2020? Have you realized once again that if you put your faith in Jesus and trust in him, all will be well in the end? In the end, all will be well. No matter what trials and tribulations you may be asked to wade through and climb over and fight through, in the end, you'll be stronger and you'll be wiser. You'll be more compassionate. You'll be of greater help to those who struggle through life and don't have a shepherd or a guide. Hopefully, you'll be calmer than they are. You'll have more assurance. You'll be somebody that they turn to and ask for help and guidance. And explain to me, why are you calm? I may not always get God's approval for what I do and what I say. And I'm sure God despairs at some of the things that go through my mind. However, he cannot disown his own. And that's because his Spirit is in all those who are born again and have faith in him. And that being the case, no matter how you feel or how many mistakes you've made in the past year, he still loves you. How could he not? You love your children, don't you, when they let you down, when you get really angry with them, when you think they're never going to change, you don't cast them aside. And that's only just a little bit of the love that God has in you. He still loves you. He'll never leave you or discard you due to poor performance or lack of faith. It even says, you know, go with those who are weak in faith. Be gentle to them. Bear with them. It's okay. We're going together. One body, one faith. And Paul makes it very clear in Romans 8, 35, 39, that love of God that we've just talked about. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or COVID-19? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a really good thing to stand on as you enter a new year. Just a little aside, we were given a plant pot with 3 bulbs in it as a Christmas gift. They were hyacinths bulbs in a small pot. They were grouped together in a triangle, not in a straight line, but in a triangle, like you would. They had just started to flower, and the characteristic sweet smell of hyacinths began to permeate our kitchen. They were about 8 or 9 inches high at that time, and I watched them day by day as they grew and their flowers opened. But not only did their flowers open and give off more and more perfume, for some reason they grew abnormally high. And one morning I realized, through experience, the voice of experience, that they would soon begin to topple over. And if they did, they could easily snap halfway up the flower stem. They go kind of rubbery and flop if they get too high, because the flowers have been cultured such that they produce such a heavy flower that they can barely cope with the weight. So they had made it, and I measured them, to between 17 and 18 inches high, which is like that tall. But they needed help if they were going to live a full life and not buckle under the weight of the flowers or what the work that they were doing. So what I did was quite simple. I took a ribbon off a previously opened Christmas gift and I tied it around the stems, encircling the stems just below the flowers. Not tightly, but just so that each hyacinth was supporting the one next to it. They were supporting each other by being tied together. That way, although they could move a little bit, they couldn't go all the way because this one on this side stopped those two on that side going any further, and vice versa. As one had a tendency to lead one way, its partner would help to support it, such that each one, either being pushed or stretched, was able to prevent the others from toppling over. I considered this simple configuration and how effective it was, not needing a separate stick or a stake in the soil, but each plant playing an essential part in helping its neighbour. And I thought of this, what came to mind was this, something in Ecclesiastes 4:12, where it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. However, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. A cord of three strands. And I just thought, yeah, that's what these three hyacinths are supporting each other. That kind of points towards the Trinity, doesn't it? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's another reason why it's not a good idea to enter the year 2021 alone. There are wolves out there and enemies of God and the church. But with the Holy Spirit in your life, you're never alone. James 4:6-7. God gives us more grace. That is why scripture says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You've got to lean on God. You've got to lean on each other. And remember, you know, when things are going well, don't get too self-assured. Remain humble. It seems to me that God likes humble people. Moses apparently was the most humble of all people. And in that reading in Exodus 33, he was not that confident. Even with all those signs and wonders, he would not go on his own. He couldn't do it. Most people tend to think in terms of years, don't you? How old are you? I'm so many years old. And 1 year has passed and 1 year has started. But is that how God sees the passage of time? I think he's into seasons. He's into light and dark, growth and decay. He's into sickness and health, life and death. All these things are of interest to him. He uses all of them to bring about change and to make people aware of their weakness. their vulnerability, their hopes, and their fears. He patiently teaches us over the passage of time. It takes time to be taught things, doesn't it? And hopefully what we will learn is that God is in control. God cannot be mocked. He knows the end from the beginning. He never changes. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is constant and trustworthy. So what are you planning for 2021? Can you plan anything? He's got us to the point where we can barely plan anything. And what did you learn from 2020? I learned that I'd rather not know anything that God does not want me to know. And like Moses, I'd rather not enter 2021 at all if God's not going to be with us. But he says he is. And I finish with Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. What a promise to start a new year. Father, we thank you for your promises, because we know they are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your plans for us, that we don't even know some of them, and we just entrust ourselves at this time into your hands once again. But Lord, just like Moses, don't send us if you're not coming. We need to know that you're there. Lord, one last request. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Empower us, Lord, in these last days. In Jesus' name. Amen.